Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This show is brought to you by DraftKings. Mitch Moss, along with Jonathan Von Tobel, who is in for the vacationing Pauly Howard, as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun show on tap today. Of course, NBA playoffs. Shenanigans last night in the NHL. What a wild night that was on the ice. We have NFL draft props, today's Major League Baseball card, and great guests on the program today as well. JVT, as you're filling in for Paulie this week, how are you feeling? Late night NBA action. Quick turnaround for you today, pal.
It is. But every time I get to do this, I get the honor of filling in. I just go through the week feeling dead inside, and then I catch up on like Saturday.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, like that's pretty much all it is. So
it's probably a pretty good game plan.
Yeah, family doesn't get much of me throughout the week, but you guys get my 100%. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, today's going to be fun. I misplaced my glasses last night. So I've talked about this before. I used to have like 2015. I could spot dimes from across the sports book.
Okay.
It was crazy.
You're not talking about money, right?
Let's just say the vision has eroded over the years, right? Don't know where they are. So good luck to me today. I mean, the stuff up close, no chance. Like yeah. I'm okay driving without the glasses, and I can see like the screens and stuff like that are in front of us right here in the studio.
So you're farsighted. It's always the opposite.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So like if you're farsighted, if that's how I understand it, you can see things far away, but you cannot see things close to you.
All I know is that up close, no chance on the phone. And the laptop and the stuff in front of me right now, going to be dicey today. So we got you for 3 hours. We're going to try our best. It's going to be an A effort, I'll tell you that, though, today.
Hey, that's why I'm here. I got my contacts in. I may or may not have accidentally fallen asleep with them on last night, so they're glued in. I'm ready to go.
We'll get into the non-A effort that the Warriors gave in the second half last night here in a couple of minutes. But the Lakers, they did get past the Pelicans last night, and yes, they were up by 17 points in the third quarter. And before you could blink, the Pelicans hit them with a pretty significant run, and then they tied it late. And then how about the timing with the Pelicans? Individually, now that we're talking about, Zion had to leave the game, and they scored 106 points. He had 40 of them.
Yep.
So he was a man on a mission last night. The only guy who could really do anything offensively for New Orleans. Ingram was on the bench for the final almost 8 minutes, still injured, evidently. And then McCollum was a total non-factor in the game, but they came roaring back, tied it, and then all that happened.
Yeah, that was tough. So the moment he goes down, it was about like 3.5 minutes left to go, a little bit less than that. He hits like a floater over Anthony Davis. That goes in and ties it. when that shot went down, I was like, oh, the Lakers are going to lose this thing. Like, he looked unstoppable. LeBron was missing him on back cuts. He was just driving past guys. He was getting physical with Anthony Davis and winning some of those matchups. And he looked awesome. And narratively, right, it's after all of these no-shows, essentially, for the Pelicans and him against the Los Angeles Lakers. And so then you get this and figure, like, this is going to be it. But then you see the frustration immediately. By the way, they're only calling it soreness, which I don't really buy. Like, his reaction, coupled with the fact that he never came back, you feel like it's a little bit more than just soreness. But the fact that he goes down, your only source of offense, you mentioned Ingram, who checks out with 7.5 minutes left to go, never gets back into a game in which they ultimately tie. It was just this confluence of events that allowed the Lakers to really squeak by and get out of this thing against New Orleans.
How'd they blow that lead?
I think there was a couple of things. Like, first off, D'Angelo Russell was awesome in the first half.
He was
hitting every single three-point shot.
In fact, if it wasn't for him, there was a chance they were going to be dead and buried in that first half.
I would agree with that. Like, and the Lakers are a pretty solid three-point shooting team, but the fact that all of those were going down early on, and you and I had mentioned when we talked about this matchup yesterday, one of the driving factors behind the Lakers' success was the fact that they were killing the Pelicans in the paint in the regular season. They were getting nothing within 4 feet of the basket in this matchup. So the fact that you kind of supplanted that with some three-point shooting was really good, but once that dried up, their offense wasn't really doing that much. Mm-hmm. So then you allow the Pelicans to get back in it. You're getting empty possessions. Like, that's what I was watching. I watched the Lakers offense that all of a sudden had nothing.
Yeah.
And they allowed the Pelicans to get right back in this thing. Pelicans were awesome. They were 23 of 34 within 4 feet of the basket. So 67% at the rim. And they drew 6 shooting fouls. Like, they were great. Just killing them in the paint. And then Zion gets out.
Yeah, the Lakers offense was really good for that stretch when they fell behind early. They came roaring back to take that big lead. And then when they built it up to 17, it was really, really effective.
Yep.
And then it just went kind of bye-bye and it vanished. And then they held on, and now they get the Denver Nuggets now in round one, and they opened up, well, let me put it this way. Denver opened up in the $4 or minus 450 range as a favorite in that series before there was some, I think, pretty immediate buyback on the Lakers to bring it down a little bit. And now at DraftKings, they have the Lakers at the Nuggets at minus 310 to win this thing.
Yeah.
And this has not gone well for the Lakers over the last couple of years, nor has it gone well for Anthony Davis in a spot against the Joker and Denver either.
No, not at all. And I think, like, when you look at this matchup, I made the joke yesterday. I was texting with some folks here at the network where, you know, when people are going to try to make the case here for the Lakers to win this series, and obviously there is a case to make, but I think overall this mismatch is a little, it's a mismatch, and it works in favor of Denver. And when you're watching Jose Alvarado destroy guys like Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell off the dribble yesterday, a big reason why they were able to come back, that's not really something that I think bodes well in a series against the Denver Nuggets, who have pretty good backcourt play, especially led by Jamal Murray. And one of the things that the Lakers did very sneakily throughout this regular season, Mitch, was they sacrificed defense for offense. They were, post-All-Star break, 22nd in non-garbage time defensive efficiency. You know, you're playing D'Angelo Russell, you're playing Austin Reeves, you're playing Spencer Dinwiddie, and you do that to get your offense better, and it has gotten a lot better, but you're just not really great along the perimeter. And so when you're talking about this, the inability to stop Nikola Jokic, which nobody does, I'm sure everybody's going to get, you know, hot and heavy about the fact that they, you remember, they figured him out last year defensively. Despite the fact that they got swept, they figured something out there against Jokic by putting Rui Hachimura on him. So maybe they go back to that again. But I don't think you have anything that kind of changes from a defensive game plan here for a guy like Jokic that dominated him last season.
Remember last year, game one in the playoffs, felt like the Lakers maybe could have won that game against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when they dropped the second game, they were going back to L.A. I was on the air. I had the Lakers at 47-1 to win the West last year, bottom when they were awful in the regular season. And I remember saying in the air, I haven't hedged yet, and I'm not going to. I'll come back. I'm pretty confident the Lakers are going to win the next two at home. Whoops.
Yeah.
That was a 4-game sweep at the hands of the eventual champs.
Hey, it was the most competitive sweep in basketball history, right, as people were calling it.
People were losing their minds last year after the Lakers nearly won game one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw, I think, I don't know if we have them, that like I was making fun of, and we all have bad ones, but these are funny. Like Jamel Hill, Nick Wright, tweeting out after the game one, like, that, you know, I don't know. I'd feel like I'm down 1-0 after that matchup, you know, after they figured this out. Like, I like this one from Jamel Hill. This from last year. A win's a win. But if I'm Denver, I treat it like a loss. Lakers really figured something out and putting on some more on Jokic. That's one of those somewhat small adjustments that could win a series. Nick Wright had the same thing, too. It was essentially like, oh, yeah, here it is. Props to Jokic for playing essentially perfect offensive basketball. That's just enough to get the win. But if a win ever felt like a loss, and vice versa. This was it. The Lakers have to feel great. They lost the next three.
Yeah, and it did not go well for the Lakers in the next three. In fact, it got worse when they went back to L.A.
No.
Now, will this be a four-game sweep?
No, I think the Lakers have gotten better, especially as, you know, we talk about, you do sacrifice defense for offense, but the offense is very good. And D'Angelo Russell seems to have kind of, it's weird at this point of his career, but really come into his own and played a lot better and kind of figured out his role with this team. Obviously, we know Austin Reeves can be very good, and the bench is a little bit better from an offensive standpoint. So I think the Lakers have gotten much better. So, you know, you go from last year, they got swept. No, I don't think that it's going to be a sweep. I think they're going to be much more competitive and lose in five games.
Oh, in five this time. Okay. All right. So I think a big storyline going into the series is going to be free throws, right? Because it always comes up. The Lakers shoot and make more free throws than anybody in the league. It happened again last night. They made 26. New Orleans made 11. Willie Green, the head coach for the Pelicans, of course, he was asked about it after the game. Here you go.
I don't feel like we've gotten a great whistle all season. That's how I feel when I watch the games. We're one of the teams that dominate the paint night in and night out. We have a physical dominant force in Zion, along with others. And it just seems like we're not getting those calls.
Is he on something there, JBT? Specifically with the game last night, dominating the paint, Zion ahead 40, and yet here you go. They're not shooting free throws. They're not even going to the free throw line that much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would agree with the all season. They were 10th in free throw rate. They made just over 20 free throws for every 100 field goal attempts. So maybe you felt like you needed more, but they were top 10 team there. But last night, like I think you could kind of agree with that for the most part. Like when you're challenging the paint as much as they were yesterday, you probably should draw some more fouls than you usually do. I mean, it's kind of like the Zach Edey conversation, right? It's defensively. It's like there's no way Zach Edey only averages like less than two fouls a game.
Right.
You know, the way he plays, it doesn't happen if you call it the right way. And it's the same thing here where if you're getting to the paint as often as you are, you probably should be generating some more free throws. And again, you know, there were some inconsistencies with the ability to play physically, but then at times in the fourth quarter, calling some ticky-tack nonsense, right, that allows a team to rack up some fouls and get to the bonus, whatever it is. So I don't think that there was anything glaring, but I will say it is kind of surprising when you see a team take 34 attempts at the rim, 19 inside of 14 feet, and then they come away with just 11 makes at the free throw line and 15 total attempts.
Yeah, yeah. So now moving forward here, the Kings went 0-5 against the Pelicans this year. It's the first time an NBA team went 0-5 against an opponent since the mid-90s. And, well, the Pelicans are now 1.5-point favorites in this game at DraftKings.
I mean, you just don't know, right?
We have no idea what's going to happen here. They play Friday, by the way.
They play Friday, and you don't know what's happening with Zion. And as we kind of mentioned, if you read Willie Green's comments yesterday about Brandon Ingram, who, again, checked out with 7.5 minutes left, didn't get back into a game that was tied at one point later in the fourth quarter, and says, like, I felt like I didn't want to push it with him. He only came back in the regular season finale. Like, that's kind of worrisome. I do think there's a reality in which you're looking at this going and playing New Orleans, it's going to be Sacramento, and while you're at home, you could be without Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, or Brandon Ingram on, like, a 25-minute pitch count, which is not great.
Mm-hmm. So both these teams, really, not even close to potentially here being at full health.
Right.
The Kings have had injuries now for a long time.
Yeah, but boy, oh boy, I know we'll get into it. Watching Keon Ellis on defense last night. They might be pretty good.
Picking the pocket of Curry like that, right out of the gates, pretty much. So we'll get into the Warriors. Finito for them beyond this year, by the way. And it might be a sign when voters are confused. That's next here on VSiN.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Good to have you on board. Follow the Money. Mitch Moss along with Jonathan Von Tobel, who is in for the vacationing Paulie Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Our good friend, Paul Charchian, joins the program now. He is a Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. He's with KFAN Radio in Minneapolis and GuillotineLeagues.com. He joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning, pal. How you been?
I've been great, and it's been too long. I don't like it when we don't talk for 3 months. Mm-hmm. You don't write. I think no postcards, nothing. I feel like you've iced me out of your life.
Wait, hold on. You're not getting my letters that I send snail mail on a weekly basis?
That's right.
Pony Express.
I have your wrong address. Damn it. Okay.
Handwritten. Yeah.
I have nothing from scratch.
Nothing.
Okay. Sad. Okay. So this is good. We have to pay this off because I've been teasing throughout the entire show that I sent you a text last night and I asked, do I need to bet the Vikings to draft JJ McCarthy with their first overall pick? You sent me back a one-word answer, and as I've said all show, it felt like it was emphatic on your end. Tell the audience what you told me and why.
No, and here's why. I don't believe it's going to be really, really hard for the Vikings to end up with J.J. McCarthy, I believe. So here's why, and a couple of things at first I think understand. Almost every mock draft has the Vikings moving up.
Yes.
That's so lazy on the part of the mock drafter. I mean, all you're doing is going, okay, I got to find a way to get a quarterback needy team into a position to take a quarterback. And well, yeah, our general manager is desperate. But this is not like year five without a quarterback. The problem is a couple of things. One, it's really expensive to move up. If you're the Vikings, the top three picks aren't going anywhere. Those are teams that need quarterbacks. There's three good ones and they're not going anywhere. So that only really leaves the Vikings into a position where they'd have to try to move into probably pick four, pick five to try to get a quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. But okay, but that's not easy either. Giants might want that pick. Titans might want to go there. Broncos might want to go there. Raiders might want to go there. Even the Jets, who are close by, they may want to go there too. So I think it's going to be much harder for the Vikings to get up into position to take J.J. McCarthy, if they like him at all, which we don't even know that either, than most people seem to think it's going to be. So that's not the angle I would use to bet the Vikings in this draft.
Okay, so then lay out how you think it's going to go. If they don't trade up, what position are they going to go with at number 11?
I don't believe that's going to be an offensive position. I do believe the Vikings will pick out of their natural position at 11 or maybe even move down. So know this, after the Vikings, who have the two first round picks, they don't pick again for 85 picks. And so there's a lot of reason to move down. Now, they already moved up in this draft, but they may have just liked that deal. There's a chance they could move back, including at 11. But if they hold at 11, almost certainly going to address defense. This team basically does not have a starting defensive end or cornerback on roster right now. So they are really desperate for those spots. Now, based on who's going to be available, they might get their pick at 11, their pick of defensive ends. I mean, there's a chance Dallas Turner hasn't gone at that point. And if it's not Dallas Turner, perhaps it's Jared Verse or Leatu Latu, which would be fun for all of us that just want to say Leatu Latu's name for years to come, which would be great. So that's how I believe this is most. The probability is that it will fall that way for Minnesota at 11.
Okay, this is wild. Okay, so what if McCarthy's on the board at number 11?
Well, then they'd go McCarthy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, to be clear, if McCarthy's there, and I'm assuming that they like him enough to take him in that spot, which I don't know that to be the case. But what I don't think they're going to do is make the big move that everybody projects them to move into range to go get him at 4 or 5, which is going to cost them first rounder, second rounder, maybe more. I think that's going to be too expensive to make that move.
So you're calling this like a likely scenario here where the Vikings stay put or trade back. And if they go number 11, it's going to be defense. Then they're currently holding pick number 23.
Right.
Do they go quarterback at that point?
Now it gets really interesting. Michael Penix, I believe, will be there at pick 23. And that's why I'm interested in Penix to draft, to end up with the Vikings. You can get that at plus 470. Those are nice odds for a team that is going to have two cracks at Michael Penix, 11 and 23, or maybe they could move back on 11 as well. So they could, you know, dump that thing back to 18, whatever. So they'll have two cracks at Penix. And that's where I think it gets a lot more interesting, because they don't have to pay anything to make that move. And you can convince yourself that Penix is worth a first round pick. I don't like him as a first round pick, but others do. You can convince yourself that Penix is worth a move there. Vikings have a very nice spot to end up with a quarterback in terms of, you know, who's around you. Justin Jefferson, presumably Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson will come back off the knee injury, bookend tackles in place. I mean, it's a nice spot to drop a rookie quarterback into if you need to. So I like Penix to end up as a Viking, much more than I like McCarthy, and you get the two cracks at him, and you get plus 470.
Well, so you talk about moving back. Could it be a situation where they move back from 23? Like, for example, when you look at the order overall, and this is very specific, but, you know, in the second round, the Carolina Panthers, I think, have the first pick of the second round. Could you do something like that where you move yourself back at the front of the second round and go get Penix? Or do you think that would be 23 is going to be the pick?
No, I absolutely could move back from 23 and still get him. Yeah. And, you know, it may be that maybe they try to keep him in the first round, so you get that fifth year option, whatever. Maybe it's something like that. But yes, moving back from 23 and still getting Penix is in play here as well. So that's another pathway to get Penix on this team, plus 470.
I love this conversation. Our guest, Paul Charchi, and KFAN Radio in Minneapolis, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, GuillotineLeagues.com, here on the Progressive Guest Line. So you said that you don't like Penix there. Some may like him. Do the Vikings like him enough? Do you know that at all?
Don't know. You know, I don't have any intel that gives me names and evaluations of players. So I can't say that. So, you know, there's some conjecture here. But quarterback needy teams, you know, the temptation to reach is pretty high. So, you know, we've seen it time and time again. You know, Kenny Pickett, Will Levis last year, Kenny Pickett prior to that, Desmond Ridder, you know, so I still feel like there's a viable pathway at plus 470. I like those odds.
Charge, what do you make of the Vikings win total next year, which is around 6.5?
I like the under on that. Last August, we talked about the win total for the Vikings, and I urged under and we hit that, but you know, we also needed Cousins to go. But this team, the important thing to know about the Vikings, one, you know, they're going to have either Sam Darnold under quarterback, or they're going to have some rookie that's going to be, you know, playing for the first time in his life. But also, because the Vikings have missed so badly on their last two drafts, this is a team that does not have an injection of young talent on it, and the divisions become so much harder. The Vikings look like a one-win team in its division. So I'd give it, based on the odds right now, which I believe is sitting at around minus 110, to go under 6.5 wins, I'd take the under right now.
All right. How about a team in their division? In fact, they won it last year and almost went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions. You have a couple of what I think are really good angles here with their first overall pick. What do you got?
I'm going to give you two plays, and I'd put them back together, back and back. The Lions are a really complete roster, except in their secondary, where they got just drilled last year. We're going to look at two things. One is cornerback, which only pays a plus 140 as the first player drafted from the Lions. But there's also plus 4,000 at safety, another position of need for them. Let's talk it through for a second. For all the things that Detroit did so well to get, you know, right to the door of the Super Bowl, they ranked 30th in pass defense by Pro Football Focus. in division, they got to face Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, DJ Moore, likely Rome Odunze, if you think he's going to go to the Bears, which I do. And the Packers have got the promising young receivers. I mean, they just have to get better in pass defense. Last year, they hit on Brian Branch. And so you might be thinking, like, is Detroit really going to go back to the well again? But they were so bad at in their secondary last year, they punted the entire position in the offseason except Branch. They brought in a couple of veterans, Amik Robertson, Carlton Davis. Unclear if they're really that great. And where Detroit is drafting, you know, 29th pick, it's right when Cooper DeJean from Iowa could hit. Kool-Aid McKinstry could hit. Enos Rakestraw could hit. Those are your plus 140s at cornerback. If you like safety, they've got to replace Kirby Joseph, who last year finished as the 93rd ranked safety by Pro Football Focus. So they could. This is when the safety position starts to kick in, is right around pick 29. Tyler Newbin, Jaden Hicks, Javon Bullard. Those guys could go there. So I like the combo platter of cornerback at plus 140 and that plus 4,000 for a safety pick for the Lions as their first player drafted. Really tempting.
I'm on it. This conversation flew by. My God, I could talk to you for 2 hours.
We're done already?
It's gone. We're done.
Well, the best part is you're saying a lot of stuff that people aren't, which is great.
Yes, I love this. Yeah. You also like to you want to hang around for a couple more minutes or no?
Yes.
You do. Okay. So hang tight. Charge is going to come back with us because he has another bomb that he likes in the top 10. We're talking around 35-1. And he thinks this guy is going to go in the top 5 at plus money as well. You're exactly right, JBT. This is why I think it's refreshing. Everybody else has the Vikings shredding up. Chargers like, hold on, not going to be that easy. So find out what else Charge likes coming up here and follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Check out the current betting split data up on the website of VSiN.com, folks. It is free, courtesy of DraftKings. You can check it out now if you'd like to use it as part of your handicapping process. It is open to the public, no pro subscription required. VSiN.com/splits.
NFL draft props here as Dylan Sullivan joins the program. He's a risk manager here at Circus Sports in charge of all of the NFL draft props. Good morning, Dylan. Good to see you today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. That's got to be a pretty cool feeling that everybody here at the book. And you've been doing this now with the NFL for a while, but you're the man in charge here at the props. Pretty cool responsibility to have.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been great so far. Action's flying. You know, we got 51 players over under, a few team props. So, yeah, everything's been great so far.
What was the philosophy here at Circa this year posting? Because it's changed, I think, right, over right. the years of when they were going to get posted, who you were going to select to put up on the board, how much you were going to take as a limit. And you guys, I think, just came to the conclusion that, okay, we're going to post a bunch. You were in charge of picking the players, and then we'll put a $500 limit on all the bets.
Yeah, so a few years ago, we've kind of done this different every year, kind of testing new things out. So a few years ago, we did like 100 player over-unders at dime limits. So that didn't go so great for us. So we scaled back over the past couple of years, and then this year we decided to try to offer a little bit more, but we're going to do nickel limits to try to protect ourselves. And then we kind of decided to do at least 50. That was just the general guidelines. So
okay.
I kind of just went up the list, kind of like rankings by position. I wanted to get a little mix of every type of position. So quarterback, running back, receiver, corner, edge, so on. And that's just kind of the amount of guys I ended up with. A few guys ended up getting cut at the last second because their ranges were all over the place. But yeah, that's pretty much how we decided the list.
So when you guys have these up, how reactionary are you to any single bet? And is the assumption just if it's a limit bet, there's based on information? Because we saw last year, right, everybody freaked out about the Will Levis Reddit post.
Right.
That kind of changed everything. So how do you guys react when it comes to information and what you're getting on some of these bets when they're up?
Yeah, everything's super reactionary. Like if I'm taking a full limit bet on something, I'm just moving it to the point that I'm not earning to it. If these guys are in the first round, then I might move it, you know, 40 cents in a one position. Kind of depends. Like, the thing about the draft is every position is different based on, like, team needs and where teams are slotted. So if a guy's in the first round, say, 25 and a half, you might move him to 20 and a half. You might just move the juice. If a guy's at 100 and a half, then you might move him 15 spots. So it's different for every player. But, yeah, everything's super reactionary. We're just moving off money for the most part.
I think there are from when I was tracking it, and I made a couple of bets the other day too when you guys first opened up, but when I was on the app looking at the movement going on, two guys came to mind. One was Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. So I think he opened up, was it 40 and a half?
I want to say he was 48 and a half.
Okay.
But he might have been 40 and a half.
You know what? It might have been 40 and a half, and then he moved down right away, right? And then he moved back. So when you moved him like eight spots, was that from one bet, limit bet, or was that from multiple limit bets?
Yeah, that was from one bet. So,
that was from one bet.
So one bet could move him a huge percentage of his total number.
Another guy, and it was more of a drastic move, was Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. I think he moved 35 spots maybe in that range. So how many bets did you take on him before you're like, oh, this is way too low?
I want to say that was off two bets, maybe three. So yeah, that was a huge jump as well.
And then when those bets come in, is it one right after another?
Yeah, pretty much. Like certain guys that are betting these right when they open, they're just hammering away their opinions. So if I move it and it's not enough, they'll just rebet it within a minute or two.
They will. Okay.
Well, that's kind of the fascinating part about, like, I think player props like that, right? When you're in the hundreds or in the 70s, there's no information, like, right? It's not information-based. That's just like, I think this guy's going to go way before that. So, it, like, you guys have to react to that because, of course, you're going to build that money up on there. But at the same time, from your end, I would assume you're not too nervous because you don't know what's going to happen by pick 100 at this point right now.
Right, yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, those ones, that's, like you said, it's not information-based. Yeah. It's kind of just, I'm way off of what that guy thinks it is, so he's going to bet it based on his opinion, and we kind of just have to find a sweet spot.
So we'll ask you this then. There's a prop up on J.J. McCarthy, and again, you have about 50 players up on the board. That's the number that you guys wanted to get to, and you have, I think you originally posted about 86 props overall in that neighborhood anyway. McCarthy's 5.5. There's been a lot of steam on him going under in the last month or so. What if that flips in the next week? And these props in Nevada, by the way, have to be off the board on Wednesday night, a full night before the actual draft takes place. What if that turns the other way and the narrative starts to go, nobody's going to trade up for him, or the interest is just not there like we thought it was since like February? Would you consider moving? Because that price point there at 5.5 over plus 145, you can't really move his position that much, right? You would just have to tinker with the juice, I'm guessing.
Yeah, especially in those top 10 spots, you really don't want to move the numbers around too much because, I mean, one trade can kind of screw things up a little bit, but if he's going to go 4, 5, 6, like, that's kind of his range. Unless, like, he slides a little bit, maybe he goes back end of the top 10, but you really don't want to be moving those numbers too much.
It's only going to be the juice on a guy like that. Has that been a popular prop, by the way, J.J. McCarthy's rep position?
It has been a popular prop. There's a lot of two-way opinion there because a lot of the mock drafts have teams trading up for him. But obviously, I don't think the Giants or the Cardinals are like the top two teams that are looking at him, I guess. So it's kind of trade dependent. And like you said, maybe the number will move because if it comes out that, you know, those two teams are keyed in on certain other guys, then maybe he ends up going 6 or so and we kind of have to move the number.
So by extension, quarterbacks in the first round was also pretty fascinating watching it from your perspective. I think minus 225 was the opener on the over, if I remember, for you guys, somewhere in that range.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and then it got bet down. So where did you guys eventually end up? Because I thought there was some sort of action on both ends, right? Once it got to a point, it got bet back up?
Yeah, that's been the most popular prop of this draft by far. So we've moved around. We were at over minus 225. Went all the way down to over minus 125, I think, and right now I believe we're sitting at minus 185 on the over. So it's been all over the place. That's been the best prop by far.
That one's number one. What's the second most popular prop?
Probably someone odd like Brian Thomas Jr.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, he's been a good one. I think that 17 spot's been like real key for him. So there's been a lot of people betting right around that range. Another one that's kind of odd is Spencer Rattler. He's like at 88 or 90 in that range. We've gotten a lot of guys betting both ways on him.
You do. Have you moved his position much?
Oh, yeah. It's been all over the place.
Has it?
Yeah. Anywhere between like 77 and 92, I think.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Okay. How popular has Michael Penix been, that prop, 32.5, just tinkering with the juice a little bit?
Yeah, I'm trying not to move that number because he's really the key guy right now that's going to affect that quarterback's over under 4.5. So he's sitting there at 32.5. Like you said, trying not to move the number, just the juice. But yeah, he's been another popular one. I think yesterday was a lot of under steam on him, which kind of correlates with the 4.5 for the quarterbacks. But yeah, Penix, he's that wild card right now.
Another one, and I think bettors gravitated to this one right away, was Bo Nix, right? Because you opened up 32.5, juice to the over on that, mm-hmm. and you moved him, I think, immediately to 34.5.
Yeah, he's there's not a lot of interest on him going in the first round. You know, other shops in town have a version of 26.5, but we got instant over bets, and it seems like Penix has kind of passed him up as the guy that has a better chance of going in the first round.
So when you're doing this and coming up with all these numbers and the players that you're going to post on the board, how many mocks do you look at? How many big boards do you look at? Which guys do you trust? Because a lot of them, there are. If you go to mock draft database on, just type that in Google, this guy tracks every single mock that pops. There's 100 of them, right? From maybe more than that, from people who do it, you know, over and over and over again. Nix has like consistently been going 12 overall to the Broncos, and you just say that's not going to happen. Right? Is that basically your theory on that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm kind of looking at the market and respecting bets, but other than the Broncos at 12, which seems like a reach at this point, it doesn't seem like there's any other team that's really looking for him in the first round. But to answer your question, it's kind of a learning experience looking at a bunch of different mock drafts. I'm really looking to see who the bettors respect the most because I don't have like a great history with this. So I'm kind of looking all around, and then every day someone releases a new mock draft and certain guys will bet off of it. So I kind of just make a mental note, all right, they respect this guy. But I couldn't tell you the number one guy off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm guessing that when Daniel Jeremiah
right.
does a new mock
yep.
and people look at the big board, that's a big deal. And also when Dane Brugler puts out something like The Beast in The Athletic the other day, that's how bettors are probably going to react to stuff.
Correct.
Would be my guess.
How much do you pay attention to just for like shows like this? Because I made the joke, Schefter the other day went on a podcast and told them, buy your Jaden Daniels jerseys now. And it wasn't an official report. And then he comes on yesterday, he goes, well, I don't know if that's going to happen. So like, how much of that is reacting to information? Or is it just for you, it's all about what money's coming in, you're going to only adjust off of that?
A little bit of both. I definitely want to be aware of people on shows giving stuff out, so I know if that's where the money ends up coming from. But I'm not always just moving straight off of what they say on TV, you know?
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of hot takes there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You'd Dylan, have Jaden Daniels as the favorite to go one if that was good.
Dylan Sullivan, our guest, risk management team here at Circa, in charge of all the NFL draft props. I want to ask him how the props were received in Chicago compared to Las Vegas. And we'll get into, finally, Marvin Harrison took some money. Find out which way coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Don't miss out on the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
All right, we continue here talking NFL draft props. Dylan Sullivan, our guest, part of the risk management team here at Circa, in charge of all of the draft props. So when you posted the 80-plus props you have on the board now at Circa, not only here in Nevada, but in every other state that you're in, is Kentucky, can you put props up in Kentucky?
Kentucky's the only state we're not allowed to
you're
put
them
up.
You're not allowed to? Okay. But when you put them up 2 days ago, how was the action in the first 30 minutes to an hour?
First 30 minutes were just nonstop. I couldn't even keep up with them. I had a guy kind of over my shoulder kind of pointing stuff out. Hey, you missed this one. You missed that one. So, yeah, we got double popped on a few of them. But, yeah, after the first 30 minutes, things kind of settled down. And then, you know, every hour or so, guys will keep making their waves. But first 30 minutes, it was impossible to keep up with.
I wouldn't be able to do it. That'd be too nerve-wracking. Really quickly, so we have the rule out here, as Mitch mentioned, 24 hours before the draft. Will you adhere to that in all the other markets, or how are you guys going to handle that in terms of keeping them up prior to the draft, 24 hours?
I believe in Nevada and Iowa, we have to pull them 24 hours. Okay. We're waiting on word in the other states, so that's kind of to be determined.
How were they received in the Chicago area compared to out here in Las Vegas?
Oh, it was great. I would say Chicago's probably been our number two state, or Illinois has been our number two state as far as draft action.
Yeah, you have some really cool specific index props up for the Bears. Like, for example, the position of the Bears' second pick in the first round.
Yeah, that's... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, that's been kind of an intriguing one. It hasn't moved around a whole lot. I think we've taken some action on edge, D-line being their second pick. But yeah, it's kind of a good one because, you know, they're going to probably take quarterback Caleb Williams, number one. And then that number two pick, there's like two or three different positions that are kind of all over the place. Rumors of Roman Wilson, Dallas Turner, some sort of edge. Roman O'Dunes, I should say. But yeah, that one, has gotten some intrigue for sure.
Well, JBT, there is a world here because a wide receiver, I think, was minus 170 when I checked to be the Bears' second pick. This possibility does exist where Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze are all gone.
Oh,
by number nine.
Right.
Right? I've seen some people, I don't think this is going to happen. I've seen some people mock Brock Bowers 9 to the Bears.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't buy that. I think you'd rather go edge, right, as opposed to, if you're not going to get one of those wide receivers, it makes sense. Also, trading back is a big deal, so you can do that if the three guys are gone, and then maybe still get a wide receiver, but it's one of the later guys if you're trading back there. So I'll ask you this. You guys, obviously, you put these up recently. How much of the process was looking at the books that had been up and letting them take shape in terms of the market, and then using that, not, of course, one-to-one, but shaping your own numbers then afterwards?
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing we're looking at, honestly. Because if I make a guy 50 and other books have 32.5, I can't hang 50. Right. Basically, I want to hang the closest number to what they have. And if I want to play offense, then I'll force a bet on the opposite side. But I still want to earn as much as possible and be as close as them as I can.
Yeah. So you're looking at pretty much every single book worldwide that you can find to extract as much information and then post it up here. At Circa, you finally saw some money come in on Marvin Harrison. His draft position here is 4.5. It was a -$4, but you finally took some money, I think it was, yesterday, on people thinking that he actually might go over 4.5?
Yeah. I think the thought there is that the McCarthy trade gets up to 4, possibly, or the Cardinals trade out, and you never know what's going to happen after that. But, we did take some over money there at the plus money. So I guess we'll see what happens with him.
I brought up Brock Bowers. Your position here is 11.5. I've seen 12.5 on him as well. It's juiced now. This has been going back a little bit. back and forth. So you're getting good two-way money on Bowers, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's been a popular one for sure. I think there's some thought that the Jets might take him at 10, and then he's also a guy that teams might be trading up for as well.
If you had to bet that prop, what would you do with Brock Bowers?
I would probably bet the under, based on everything that I've seen.
You think so?
Yeah, but, you know, I haven't bet it myself so far, so.
Okay. Some other popular bets that I've seen. It appears as if Dallas Turner, the juice has been moving back and forth quite a bit on his position at 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole time, right? I mean, it seems like Atlanta is going to be the spot at 8, but he's juiced to the over at 9.5.
Yeah, I think there's some thought that Atlanta might take a different edge there. So it seems like over is the wise guy's side right now. But like you said, there's been a little bit of two-way, so there is some support on that under.
But what about, you guys do have a head-to-head as well, Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Where'd you guys open, and have you seen anything here? Because the assumption is that Jaden Daniels will be two, but I think there's still an opening for a guy like May to go ahead of him and still go two.
I think we opened Jaden Daniels minus 250, and I think our first bet was on Daniels, and we've taken some May money since then.
This one opened up pretty short, and we had a guest on earlier today, Paul Charchian, who was making a case on the opposite side. I bet it, based on what he was saying. But do you recall where you opened up Vikings' first pick to be an offensive player?
I want to say it was minus 200, something like that. Now we're up to minus 800.
That ballooned up to minus 800. I took a little plus 575 earlier this morning. He was making the case that people are just assuming the Vikings are going to be the team to trade up and take J.J. McCarthy. And he laid out, this is an hour or so ago on our show, the reasons why he doesn't think that's going to happen. And if that does not happen, he said if McCarthy falls to number 11, the Vikings will take him. But assuming that he's gone, he thinks they're going to go edge.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I thought when I opened it. But we took you know, five or six yes bets on the offense. So I just kind of listened to the money, but I'm glad to hear you say that because I would really like you to win that bet.
Okay. Is that like the number one bet that you were pounded on more than anything else?
Yeah, as far as the team stuff, that was the biggest runaway by a mile.
Wow. So what about a guy like Joe Alt? Because I think this is pretty fascinating. He seems really solidly in as the first offensive lineman taken. But you have guys like Zuerlein who put out there like, I think there actually might be a surprise at offensive line number one. Now, we thought maybe that means he goes earlier, but that also could mean he's not the first offensive lineman. You guys have his draft position 7.5, heavily shaded under. Did you see anything here? Did you open that up adequately enough that you didn't see anything on it? Or what did you see early?
We've taken some nibbles there, but nothing that's got it off 7.5.
Yeah, okay.
All right, very good. A lot of fun, though, with this whole process?
Yeah, it's been great. Like you say, nonstop action, keeping me busy. So it's been fun.
So when you were in charge again of coming up with the players that you wanted to list, are you going back and looking at big boards and the positional rankings and saying, okay, I can probably pick and choose from like the top six or seven guys at wide receiver and just post a number on them? And you wanted to do that with pretty much every position that you could?
Yeah, to some degree. I think we only have one safety. Offensive players, I guess, are just more interesting in general. So more quarterbacks, more receivers. But I wanted a little bit of every position, and like I just went off a couple big boards and picked the first 3 to 10 guys in for each position.
Have you noticed that the draft is becoming more popular every single year for people to bet on? Because we were talking about this off the air earlier today. If betting did not exist for the draft, I'm sure we'd still talk about it, but it wouldn't be nowhere near as close. You know, it's a gambling network here and other spots as well. We wouldn't talk about it as much as we do now, but it's fascinating because of all these prop bets that are on the board.
Yeah, for sure. Like NFL draft of all drafts, I think, besides MLB, impacts the upcoming season the least. So from a betting standpoint, without betting on the actual draft itself, it wouldn't be that great for our space. But yeah, betting on it, it's kind of gone in and out. I think 2 years ago, everyone got a little scared and kind of held back, offered a lot less. And now it's kind of gaining some more traction, gaining more popularity.
Has the shenanigans with the odds for the first overall picks the last few years in different drafts been a big reason why? Like we saw the Paolo Banchero stuff. We saw some others. I think it was the National Hockey League draft last year. We saw some movement too.
Yeah.
In a weird way for the top pick. Is that in the conversation at all when you're talking about the trepidation of putting these things up?
Yeah, it's definitely not encouraging books to offer more.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Like even the Will Levis thing last year.
Yep.
He's, 20-1 to go second overall, and someone gives him out on TV, so then I used to pick him, and then he goes in the second round. It's just it's a crapshoot.
Total madness, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, it is strictly based on information, betting this stuff, right? So books generally do not do very well with the NFL draft. A reason why that it's been slow to put up stuff over the previous years and why books have admitted that we don't want to actually book it, you know?
Right. It's a kind of concession to the players. We're not really expecting to win a lot of money on this. Our goal is almost really to break even and offer a good menu.
Right. And based on how you guys operated here at Circa, my guess is that you're probably going to do this every single year, even though it's tough to win for you guys.
Yeah, I would think so. Like it could change next year. We might offer more or less. You never know. I guess we'll just see how this one goes.
Yeah. Very good. Dylan Sullivan has been our guest here. He is a risk manager here at Circus Sports in charge of all the NFL draft stuff and NFL, a lot of it in general anyway. Thanks so much for coming in today. We really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. If you miss any of the show, you can go back and search Follow the Money wherever you get your podcasts. Stay tuned. We have other shows coming up all day long on the network, including Gil Alexander with a numbers game. That's next. You can listen at vsin.com. Good luck betting tonight.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's
at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.